It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome into the Virtual Bible Study. We're here. We're glad that you are too. This is the Virtual Bible Study. We hope you'll stay tuned for the next hour. Going to look at an interesting subject tonight. I want to look at the why we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. The number to call to be a part of the program tonight is 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or email us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. That's questions@collegeview.com. My name is Jacob Gwynn. I'm joining you tonight live from Atlanta, Georgia, and my father, Greg Gwynn, joins me on the phone from Columbia, Tennessee. Hello, Dad. Welcome to the program.
All right. Good to be with you, Jacob. You're the one who's out of town tonight. I'm home. You're away, but we're on the Virtual Bible Study, and we look forward to a good period of Bible discussion on what I think is really a very important Bible subject.
That's right. We're going to look at reasons why we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Why do you believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Let us know your thoughts, 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Why do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Why do you believe that it has within its pages the instructions that you should follow in order to be pleasing to God? Why do you believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Why not call in or email us your comments on the program tonight? Dad, looking forward to hearing why our listeners believe the Bible is something we ought to be studying on the Virtual Bible Study tonight.
Say again, Jake. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
We're interested in hearing why our listeners are interested in studying the Bible with us on the program tonight. Why do they believe it is the Word of God?
Yeah, you know, all of us who call ourselves Christians, we put a lot of stock in the Bible. We carry our Bibles around with us. We read them. We memorize verses out of them. We frequently make reference to the things that are taught there. And the question that we're really asking is that a reasonable thing to do? Is it worthwhile? Is it reasonable to put that kind of confidence in this document? And so we're really asking the question, why do we believe that the Bible really is from God?
That's right. We're putting a lot of confidence in the Word of God. The real question is it valid? Is it worth putting our confidence in? 931-381-4567, or send us your comments or questions to questions@collegeview.com. You know, Dad, this is really a fundamental concept here. This is really at the root of our religion. Can we trust the Word of God?
That's right. And, Jacob, we might mention that this study this week is really in anticipation of something we're looking forward to on next week's Virtual Bible Study. We've been in contact with some members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, better known as the Mormons, and some of their members have agreed to join us on the program next week. I think most who are listening tonight probably recognize the fact that one of the big differences that we would have religiously with the members of the Mormon Church is that they believe that other documents are inspired, whereas we believe the Bible is the exclusively inspired Word of God. And so tonight we're kind of studying what we believe about inspiration. We want to hear what others think. We want your input. If you're listening tonight, please call or send us an email. And then be thinking about the fact that these points are pertinent relative to what we hope to do next week on the Virtual Bible Study.
That's right. We hope you'll make plans to join us on the program next week as we interview some members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormons, interested in interviewing them to find out what they believe and why they believe it. And we look forward to hearing about their documents or their doctrines next week on the program. Hope you'll make plans to join us then. But as you mentioned, Dad, they call into question the validity of the Bible and say that we need something else, the Book of Mormon. And we want to look at that claim next week. And this week, we want to examine what the Bible says about itself and some proofs of Bible inspiration. We're interested in hearing from you on the program tonight. Why do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Why do you want to study the Bible? Why do you follow its commands? 931-381-4567. or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. Well, Dad, you know, there are a lot of views of Bible inspiration, a lot of views on what the Bible really is all about, how it was inspired. There's a lot of faulty views on what the Bible's all about.
That's right. And I think that this is an important thing for us to begin our study about inspiration. A lot of people have a wrong view of inspiration. If you were to ask most people, certainly most people who believe themselves to be Christians, if you were to ask the simple question, do you believe the Bible is inspired or that the Bible is from God? I think almost all would say yes. Now, perhaps some really extremely liberal people might say no, but most religious people would say yes. But what they mean by inspiration is critical, because some people have this flawed view. For instance, there are some people who believe that the Bible is sort of partially inspired, that perhaps the moral teachings of the Bible are from God, but some of the other things, some of the historical and scientific sections, are maybe the product of human mind. And if you took that view of inspiration, you'd have a huge problem, because the problem obviously would be, how do we tell one part from the other? How do we tell what parts are inspired, what parts are not? And so that would be a faulty view of inspiration, to think that it's inspired maybe just partially, just certain sections are.
It is. It puts us in a difficult position to know what parts of the Bible are inspired. While it may make us be in a difficult position, though, Dad, sometimes that's a convenient position if we take that view, because if we think that a command is unreasonable or we don't want to follow that command, we just say that part of the Bible was not inspired.
Yeah, that'd be the outcome of it. But of course, it would leave us completely in an untenable situation, because we would not be able to discern the difference of the two.
That's right. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com are the ways that you can participate in the program tonight. We're asking you why you believe the Bible is the Word of God. Why have you decided that you want to study the Bible on Thursday night with us on the program? Why have you decided that you will follow the commands of the Bible in your life at some consequence to you personally in your life? Why have you decided the Bible is worthy of your following? 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Well, Dad, there's other views of inspiration that we believe are faulty as well.
Yeah, another idea about inspiration that some folks have is that the Bible writers were inspired simply in the way that we might use the term. You know, if someone saw a beautiful sunset or a lovely waterfall, and they just felt inspired to sit down and, you know, do a painting or to write a poem or something like that. And we use the word inspired in that sense, you know, that they just sort of motivated or moved to do something. And some people feel that, you know, that's the way the Bible writers were. They were just very motivated people, and they just had a great urge, and they sat down and wrote what they thought. But there again, that would really diminish the Bible to nothing more than a literary work of man. There have been plenty of works of men, writings of men, that were, you know, motivated by a strong urge of some sort or another, but they're not from God. And so that view would really fail if when we say inspired, all we mean is that those men had a real strong urge to write something, and they did.
That's right. And it also has the consequence and the problem of the fact that the writers were writing about things that they sometimes didn't understand. And so if we're to believe that it was something that was just a natural inspiration where they just sort of got an idea in their head and they wrote about it, then that really doesn't explain how they could write about something they didn't understand.
Exactly. Exactly.
931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Why do you follow the Bible? Why do you believe it's inspired? Well, that also, there are some who hold to the idea that the Bible is just inspired in the fact that it was mechanically told what the writers what to write, that they were told word for word everything that they were to write in some, like a secretary or some type of court scribe would be told how to write.
Yeah, that they didn't do anything more than operate as sort of a dictating machine of some sort or another, and it was dictated to them, and they wrote it down. Now, the problem with that is we can read the Bible and pretty obviously detect different writing styles of the various authors. For instance, the Apostle John had a very distinct writing style. Paul had the Apostle Paul had his own writing style, and so forth. And so, it doesn't seem like that is the accurate view of inspiration to think that God just used them as sort of robotic stenographers, because we can detect a difference in writing style of the various authors. So that view of inspiration seems to fail as well.
That's right, that God just gave them words that they took down like a secretary. That doesn't explain how we have different writing styles and we have the authors expressing themselves. Well, finally, Dad, there are some who say that the Bible is inspired by God just giving the authors certain thoughts and ideas to write about, and then he left them to their own means as to how they would express the thoughts that he presented them with. And that, again, is a faulty view of inspiration.
Yeah, I think this is maybe the most popular view of inspiration, the idea that God gave the authors, the various authors, he gave them the general ideas, and then he left it up to them to put it in their own words. Now, that would explain the different writing styles that we were just mentioning previously. But if that were true, then we would have a problem that, how would we know whether the specific word or phrase that we're considering is something God really meant or wanted, or somehow or another the men failed and didn't accurately convey the thought that God wanted us to know. So this idea of thought inspiration has some real problems.
That's exactly right. How do we know what part of the Bible is valid? Because there could be errors if they're just thoughts and ideas that were presented and the authors were up to their own invention on how to express the thoughts and ideas that they expressed. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com are the ways you can participate tonight. We want to hear from you. This is a live program, and it is an interactive program in which you can take a part in the discussion and let us know your thoughts. Why do you believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God?
One of the things that we might suggest our callers or our email respondents to mention is, what do you think is the right view of Bible inspiration? How do you see it? What is the accurate view of inspiration? We've suggested some what I think are some faulty views that people have. It'd be interesting to hear what people think is the right view of Bible inspiration. What do you think? When you say the Bible is inspired, what do you mean by that? So give us an email. Give us a call or send us an email.
931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. Dad, the idea of thought inspiration just doesn't work, because then if the authors were left to their own invention as to how they would express the general concepts that God had presented them with, then we would have the opportunity and the possibility that there could be errors introduced in the text, and there are no errors in the Bible.
Yeah. In fact, you mentioned this earlier, Jacob. The Bible writers often wrote about things that they didn't even understand. For instance, in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 10, it says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." So Peter says the Old Testament prophets, inspired men, were writing about things that they didn't even understand what it meant, what they were saying. We have the 2020 vision of looking back now, and we can accurately understand what they were talking about, but they didn't understand themselves the full import of their message. And so if God supposedly just gave the general ideas and then let them flesh it out in their own words, how would it be that they could write about things that they didn't even understand?
That's exactly right. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com are the ways you can participate in the program tonight. We want to hear from you. Why do you believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Why do you trust in the Bible? Why are you interested in studying it? Looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com. We're going to go to a break, and when we get back, we'll begin looking at some of those reasons why we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, but we want to hear from you. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Me again, Mike Smith at the College of Church of Christ. Let me ask you some more questions. You remember when the pulpit was used for the purpose of convicting sinners and teaching them how to be saved? The retired preachers who seemed more inclined to entertain their audience than to teach them the truth. Does it seem that sermons you are hearing each week could easily be given in a PTA meeting or a social club? Do you remember when sin was called sin? At the end of the sermon, you knew, by book, chapter, and verse, what the preacher was talking about and why? Well, we're still preaching the old Jerusalem gospel that you read about in your Bible. We invite you to investigate for yourself. Please come and see this Sunday at the College of Church of Christ at 9:30 a.m. on Hampshire Pike.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the virtual Bible study.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College U Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College U Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College U Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College U Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
My name is Roger Toombs, and me and my wife love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday nights.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad that you're tuned in tonight, and we hope you'll stay tuned as we talk about Bible inspiration and why we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God and should be followed in our lives. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com are the ways you can participate tonight, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. Joining us on the phone now, Nick from Jennings, Florida, is here with us. Nick, welcome back to the Bible Forum, the virtual Bible study. You were with us last week, and we enjoyed talking with you. Welcome back tonight.
Thanks. The question you were raising on why should we believe that the Bible is verbally inspired, basically the answer is going to be by faith if we read the Word of God. And in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, we see very clearly that Paul is saying that when he came and preached to the Corinthians, and Paul being an inspired man and writing that inspired book, is saying he came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, and he did not use words of man's wisdom. If Paul would have been using his own wisdom and his own words, and it was not the words of God, then he would have been using man's wisdom. But he says very clearly in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 2, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power."
That's an excellent argument that you present there, Nick. There are really a couple of things that you present there with Paul making the claim that he wasn't speaking words that he had devised of himself. The Bible claims to be inspired from God, but any book, really, Dad, can make that claim. We have to look at the book itself and decide whether or not it is from God.
I think that's right. The Bible definitely makes the claim that it's from God and not from man. And so we'd be interested in looking at the proofs of that.
That's right. 931-381-4567. But Nick, also the style of the Bible is interesting because it also leads us to believe that the Bible is inspired. The way that Paul wrote is not necessarily the way that someone would write if they were trying to convince someone that they personally had some type of truth from God.
Right. Well, as Paul would write to various individuals or either churches, as he does in Corinth or he writes to Timothy, he makes that very clear that all Scripture is inspired of God in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And then when we look at the various styles of the men who wrote, certainly God can use their styles or their education, if you will, and yet give them the very words by which they are to speak.
That's right. And don't you believe that if someone came to us and wanted to prove that, what they were speaking was from God, if they were just trying to make it up, don't you think they would want to use excellency of speech or man's wisdom so it would appeal to us? Yet Paul didn't do that.
Yeah, usually that's the pride of men, and even Paul is using the very words over and over and over. Wherever Peter might have preached or wherever Paul might have preached, we see that they were perfect unity on the subjects they were teaching, both the Jews and the Gentiles, as apostles of Christ. So as they go about teaching the plan of salvation, we see that in every case they're using the very words that God would have them teach, understanding subjects such as baptism, to be immersion.
That's right. Well, Nick, we appreciate you joining us again on the program tonight.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you. 931-381-4567 are the numbers to call, or you can send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Why do you believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. Dad, I believe we have some emails as well that we need to take.
Yeah, we got an email from Pat in Harvest, Alabama. Jacob, I'm getting a real feedback now. I don't know what we changed. But Pat says, since God gave the words to the human authors of the Bible, and he references the same verse that Nick was referencing, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, he says, then it would be correct to say that he did dictate it. God decided to use the vocabulary of men, Paul, Peter, etc., else he would be dictating a word that men didn't fully understand, but God did dictate the words. I appreciate Pat's comment there, and I'm glad that we can clarify that. God did give each human author the exact words that he wanted to say. Let me read a quote from Homer Haley, who was a pretty well-known Bible student who's now passed away, but he referred to the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures, and he says, that is what I believe. He says, I mean by this that when prophets of the Old Covenant or apostles of the New spoke or wrote, that they spoke and wrote by inspiration, God giving them the idea and selecting and choosing from their vocabulary the words that they were to use in making the idea known. I simply affirm that the original message and the original manuscripts were spoken and written by men as they were guided by the Holy Spirit, both in thought and words in which the thoughts were made known. I believe the Bible sustains this proposition. I think that's a good explanation of what we're trying to say, what we really believe when we talk about the inspiration of the Scripture. I'm glad that Pat helped clarify that. When we were saying we didn't believe it was mechanically dictated, that is, it wasn't in such a fashion that the men just wrote like a robot, but rather God used those men and selected from their very vocabularies and things that they would have understood and known, he gave them word for word the things that he wanted them to say.
That is an important distinction to make, and we appreciate you bringing that out, Pat. What we do believe is what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, that Paul was speaking the actual words that the Holy Spirit had given him to speak, and we're not using words that he had come up with himself. But we have to make the distinction there, Dad, that God did use their own personalities in such a way that their style came out in their writing.
Yeah. Another author named Frank Gabling wrote in a book called The Meaning of Inspiration, he said the original documents of the Bible were written by men who, though permitted the exercise of their own personalities and literary talents, yet wrote under the controlled guidance of the Spirit of God, the result being in every word of the original documents a perfect and errorless recording of the exact message which God desired to give to man. Again, I think that's a good explanation. God used those men, and he made sure they said exactly what he wanted them to say. He used their personalities and their the vocabularies to convey to us exactly what he wanted us to know. Again, before we start looking at some of the proofs of that, we might look at some of the statements from the Bible itself, which claims that God did choose the very words that the men used. For instance, from the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And so Jeremiah, the prophet, he didn't say, God gave me the idea, God put his idea in my brain. Rather, he said he put his words in my mouth. Notice that the very words were given to Jeremiah.
In 2 Samuel chapter 23, we have a similar statement. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." And so the prophets of old, Dad, claimed that God was speaking the actual words that he wanted spoken through the voice of those in the Old Testament.
Exactly right. In the New Testament claims exactly the same kind of thing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So, again, both Old and New Testament authors claim that God gave them the very words to speak.
And that is right, and we believe that every word of the Scriptures is there because God wants it to be there, Dad. That's what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And so we believe that every word of the Bible is there because God wants it to be there.
Yeah, we have another email from Preston down in South Georgia. Preston, glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study again this week. Preston's one of our regular listeners. We really appreciate his support. He makes reference to that verse you just read, Jacob, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And he says, and he also references a couple other verses, Titus 1, 2, 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. And his comment is, these verses are important to know that the Bible is complete and the truth. I believe the word is of God, even though men put it in ink. And here's a key thing that he mentions, Jacob. No man could make up some of the things that are in the Bible. These verses show us it came from God. So I think Preston is exactly right. If the Bible were the product of men's invention, a lot of the things that are in there wouldn't have been in there. And so certainly the Bible claims that it is the Word of God, that it is the literal, word-for-word product of God's inspiration, that he breathed every word. So we maybe have overstressed this point, taking too long to make the point, but I think it is clear that we want everyone to understand when we talk about Bible inspiration, we're talking about the literal, verbal inspiration of the Bible. Every word is there because God wanted it to be there.
That's right. 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeu.com. Thank you for listening, Cynthia and Preston. We're glad that you commented on the program tonight. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Dad?
Might read an email from Cynthia, one of our listeners here in Columbia, Tennessee. Cynthia says, "I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God because of the translation of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, as the case may be, were done by authors that claim to convey as directly as possible the thought and individual style of the inspired writers." I think Cynthia is exactly right. Obviously, when we talk about the Bible, we're reading from English translations of the Bible. The Bible was originally given in Hebrew, a small part of Aramaic and Greek. Old Testament was in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek. When we say that God gave every word, we're saying that he gave every word to the original writers in those original languages. Now, obviously, we want to take caution to make sure that we're reading from a reliable translation of those words. And Cynthia goes on to say the better understanding of the languages, Hebrew and Greek, are the fruits of patient study, especially since 1500. This fruit has more closely than ever before made available to us the sense of what the sacred authors actually wrote. And I think she's right. And so we do trust the scholarship of language experts who are able to translate for us the words of God. But when we say that every word was given by God, we're talking about every word in the original language.
That's right. Thank you for that email, Cynthia. And that does link up with another question we have, where we were asked, did God protect the original word given from errors from translators? Were the translators inspired, Dad?
Well, this email comes from Otis here in Columbia. Otis, glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study tonight. You know, God promised that he was not going to let his word pass. In several places in the scripture, we have the promise that God was not going to let anything happen to his word, that he was going to preserve it. For instance, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, he says, Jesus said, "Verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall nowise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Plenty of places like that, God promises that he was going to preserve his word and that it would be available to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So I believe that God has, through the ages, protected his word and kept his promise that he was going to make his word available to us. We do have reliable translations. I don't believe the translations themselves are inspired, but certainly the reliable translations that we have today are the fulfillment of God's promise that he was going to make his word available to us and it would never pass away. Now, the thing that we've got to judge is that there are some faulty translations out there. There's some good ones and there's some bad ones. And so it behooves us to do a little bit of research and carefully make certain that we are reading from a reliable translation. Very often, Jacob, you and I are reading from the King James translation, which we think is a good one, and all indication is it's very true to the original text. There are others that are good, but there are some bad ones out there. One of the very common ones that's used by people today is the Living Bible. And that's not even a real translation of the original text. That's sort of a paraphrase that someone wrote explaining what they thought the original text meant. It's not even a true translation. So you can certainly get some mistaken ideas from a book like the Living Bible. Got to be careful there. So in answer to those questions, yes, I think God has protected his word and preserved it and made it endure in this world, even when there have been efforts to destroy it. The Bible has survived, and I believe that's God keeping his promise.
I guess the conclusion of that, Dad, is that God has kept his promise, and we can be confident that God's truth still does endure today. We must be diligent in studying so that we understand that truth and we make sure that we're following it in our lives.
I know we're up against the break, Jacob. Let us pose a question to our listeners. We've defined inspiration, and we have said that the Bible certainly makes the claim that it's inspired, but you can claim anything. You know, you got to be able to prove it. So we might get our listeners to send us a message, give us a call. What do you think are the proofs? What do you see as proofs that the Bible is what it claims to be?
That's right. Give us a call, 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. We'd love to hear from you tonight. You obviously believe, likely if you're listening to the program tonight, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and as we have mentioned, any book can make that claim. Why do you believe that the Bible is accurate and it is making the right claim when it claims that it is from God? Why do you have faith in the Word of God? 931-381-4567. Or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Hi, my name is Mike Smith, and I'm a member of the College of Church of Christ on Hampshire Pike. Let me ask you some questions. Do you remember when churches insisted on Bible authority for everything they did? Can you recall when church members always expected a thus saith the Lord? Can you remember when the church was well known for its book, chapter, and verse style of teaching and preaching? Are you upset because the church you're attending doesn't always approach things this way anymore? Does it concern you that elders and preachers don't seem to care about Bible authority at all? We're still trying to do everything according to the New Testament pattern. If you're looking for a church like the one you remember from the past, please visit us soon at the College of Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old, and I love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the Virtual Bible Study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the program tonight. We're glad that you're here. We're talking about Bible inspiration and why we believe the Bible is inspired Word of God. The way to participate in the program tonight, again, is 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. We've had some good participation tonight. We look forward to hearing from you. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Dad, again, the reason why we're talking about this tonight is next week we're going to have some special guests on with us and some guests who challenge that the Bible is the complete and inspired Word of God, and it is all that we need in our lives today.
That's right. Next week, some members of the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, will be with us, and we look forward to talking with them about some of our differences. And a lot of our differences just hinge on the fact that they believe that the Bible is not the exclusively inspired Word of God. And in fact, they doubt that our current Bibles are reliable, relating to the question that Otis asked earlier. We think that God has preserved His Word. They think that the Bible has become corrupted through the centuries, and therefore a new or latter-day revelation was needed. And, of course, that's what they believe, the Book of Mormon and some of the writings of Joseph Smith. So we're going to be questioning them about that. They're going to try to give some explanation, and we really look forward to that. We want everybody to be listening next week when we have that discussion.
That's right. We hope you'll listen. We hope you'll tell a friend and join us on the program next week as we talk with some members of the Mormon Church about their view of the Bible and other views that they have, and we want to compare them with what God has said in His Word. We hope you'll join us next week for the virtual Bible study. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com are the ways you can participate in the program tonight. We're asking you why you believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Why do you have faith and confidence in the Bible? Why do you believe it is inspired? 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. Well, Dad, one of the reasons why we have great confidence in the Word of God, that it is inspired from God and it should be followed in our lives, is because of the unity that the Bible has. You know, the Bible was written by about 40 authors over a period of about 1,500 years, these authors having different backgrounds, different levels of education, and yet they were able to write in such a way that when their writings were compiled and put together, they all are in complete and perfect harmony, and no errors exist. This is really an amazing fact, Dad, when we consider the fact that these authors from great periods of time, 1,500 years separating some of them, and from different geographical areas with different backgrounds, were able to write without any errors at all.
Yeah, that really is amazing. And you mentioned the period of time over which the Bible was written. The oldest parts of the Bible are about 3,500 years old, written about 3,500 years ago. The newest parts of the Bible were written about 2,000 years ago. So there was about a 1,500-year period of time there in which God was producing this written revelation to mankind and using these various authors in order to get the job done. Now, what we're saying is that, obviously, these men did not have the opportunity to sit down around a big conference table somewhere and sort of iron out their differences and come to an agreement about what they were going to write. They wrote independently of one another. Many of them did not know each other. They did not live in the same place or time. Many of them didn't even speak the same languages. And yet when you put their finished work all together, the complete and perfect harmony, I'm going to tell you, there's just no way that that could have happened without God guiding that process.
You know, Dad, it is amazing. You think about how much things have changed just in our lifetime in the last 50 years, maybe the last 100 years. You think it would be possible, Dad, for two people to write about any subject over that span of time? Maybe someone wrote 100 years ago about a subject and compare that with what someone might write about today? There would obviously be contradictions in that.
Yeah, if you tried to get everybody to sit down and write what you had for supper last Sunday, you couldn't even get agreement about that. All the people who were in your house for supper last Sunday couldn't agree about what you ate for supper. The fact that these different authors could write and have perfect agreement is a sure sign that God was guiding the process. In fact, Nick from down there in Jennings, in Florida, was on the phone with us just a few minutes ago. He has written an email to us now in answer to our question about why do you believe it and what's the proof that the Bible is inspired. He mentions this exact point that we're making. He says proof the Bible is inspired is in the fact that 40 men over a period of 1,600 years wrote in perfect harmony on the same subjects without contradiction. I think that's exactly right.
That's right. We appreciate your comments, Nick. 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. It is amazing when we consider the fact that the Bible was written by approximately 40 different writers over a period of about 1,500 years, and when we put their writings together, there are no contradictions. It is an amazing fact. Why do you believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God? 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com.
Another reason, moving to a second point of proof that the Bible is inspired, is the fulfilled prophecies contained in the Bible. And I've got an email here coming in from Pat down in Harvest, Alabama. Pat's written in again, and we really appreciate his participation. And he's got a real good some real good examples of fulfilled Bible prophecy. For instance, in Isaiah 44, verse 28 through chapter 45, verse 1, it's predicted that King Cyrus of Persia would let the Israelites come out of captivity. And that prophecy in Isaiah was made 150 years before Cyrus was even born. The fulfillment of that prophecy is in the book of Ezra. And so it's interesting that Isaiah could make a prophecy and name a man. It would be Cyrus who would send the children of Israel home from their captivity to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. And Cyrus is named 150 years before he was ever born. Amazing.
You know, that is truly an example of the fulfilled prophecy that is in the Bible. And it is amazing, Dad, when we consider all the prophecies, and especially the prophecies about Christ, how they could all be fulfilled. There must be something here. It cannot be the product of purely men if we have so many prophecies that are fulfilled.
That's exactly right. Let me give you a couple others from Pat's email here. He mentioned, this is one I had not thought of. Ezekiel 25:14 predicted that Israel would be used by God to take vengeance on Edom. And he says, considering the fact that Israel was then in Babylonian captivity, such a process, he probably seemed ludicrous. Yet some four centuries later, the prediction finds its fulfillment in Judas Maccabeus, John Hyrcanus. Thousands of Edomites were slain, and the nation was forced to submit to Jewish circumcision. Again, he gets that from the book Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell, another good example. He mentions Christ's kingdom to appear during the days of the Roman Empire, Daniel 2, verses 28 through 44. That prophecy was made in 539 B.C., over 500 years before it came true, and the kingdom was established in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, during the reign of the Roman kings.
You know, when we talk about the prophecies relating to Christ, there are over 300 prophecies about Christ in the Bible, and every one of them has been fulfilled. Isn't that an amazing amazing record here, that 300 prophecies and all of them could be fulfilled?
That's right. And some of those prophecies about Jesus, for instance, were prophecies that would not have necessarily been logical choices. You know, to prophesy about a coming king, but to also prophesy that he would be tortured and executed, treated as a common criminal. Isaiah did that in Isaiah chapter 53. He said he'd be executed as though he were a criminal, but he would be buried in a rich man's grave. Isaiah 53 is a real interesting prophecy about Jesus, and the fulfillment is incredible. So thanks to Pat for his email with several good examples of fulfilled prophecy, and I think that he's exactly right. One of the very strong, if not the strongest, forms of proof that the Bible is inspired is the fact that those prophecies were made, and we know the fulfillment of them, and there's no way that could have happened without God's involvement.
And on the converse there, Dad, if the Bible made prophecies that did not come true, we could automatically conclude that it was not from God, because why would God tell something that was not true? Why would God not be able to foresee the future? So therefore, if the Bible made claims and prophecies that were not fulfilled, then we could rule it out and say it is not from God.
Right. If you could find a case of a prophecy that failed, then you'd have an argument to make against the Bible. Of course, you can't do that. The Bible contains hundreds of prophecies, and we have the accurate fulfillment of them, and that's a strong proof of its inspiration. We're coming up on a break, Jacob, but I want to get an email, another follow-up email from Cynthia here in Columbia. She says, man struggles with the age-old problem of how to live his life for the glory of God, for the welfare of other humans, and the salvation of his own soul. No other book answers and gives man the opportunity to fulfill his quest. All others are just material achievements. I think Cynthia's right on the mark here, and she's suggesting something that I think also is a proof that the Bible is inspired, and that has to do with the style of the writing of the Bible. The Bible is written in such a fashion that it has, through the centuries, inspired people to live better lives, and it has answered, as she says, the questions that men seek for answers for, the kind of thing that they constantly striving to understand, and the very style of the Bible and the way it's written are indications of its inspiration. That's a little more subjective of a form of proof, but I think it is also a positive proof.
We appreciate your comment there, Cynthia. You know, Dad, that is an amazing fact when we consider it. You know, compare the Bible with a lot of other books that people look to for strength and guidance in their life. A lot of these self-help books that we hear about that become so popular, yet their popularity remains for only maybe months at a time, and then they are soon forgotten about. That the Bible has been giving people instruction for how to live their lives for thousands of years and still remains popular, and that gives us an indication that it must be from God.
That's right. In fact, every year the Bible is on bestseller list. Even though it's such an ancient book, most other books as old as the Bible have simply been lost to mankind through neglect and apathy. But the Bible has endured, continues to be a strong guide for men's lives, even all these many years later, even when men have purposely tried to destroy it and weren't able to do so. Those are strong indications that the Bible is from God.
Well, we're going to go to our last break, and when we get back, there'll be plenty of time to take a call or email from you, 931-381-4567, or questions at collegeview.com. We're looking at the inspiration of the Bible tonight. Why do you believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God? The virtual Bible study continues live from Atlanta, Georgia, right after this.
Don't touch that mouse. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. Well, regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the virtual Bible study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the program. We're glad that you joined us on the program tonight, and we're glad that you're studying the Bible, which we believe is the inspired Word of God, and we want to know why you believe it is the Word of God and should be followed in our lives. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. Again, we're studying this in preparation for a discussion we plan to have next week with some members of the Mormon Church who would challenge us that the Bible is truly the inspired Word of God and is all that we need, that it is still remains accurate and valid for us today. We're looking forward to that discussion next week. Hope you'll make plans to join us. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. We're looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. Dad?
Jacob, I want to mention quickly some other things that do point to the accuracy and the inspiration of the Bible. One of them has to do with what some people refer to as scientific foreknowledge in the Bible. I'm not going to go into great detail here, but the Bible's not a science book, was never intended to be a science book, but when it commented about things that science could later either confirm or deny, the Bible has always been scientifically accurate. Now, in other words, again, it's not a science book, but you know, it was written by men years ago who had some very peculiar superstitions about the human body, and about nature, and about the universe, about the earth itself. And if a book was written by men alone without any divine guidance, they would have included some of those superstitious ideas in their writings, and they did not. And I think the absence of those things and the scientific accuracy of the Bible, although it's not intended to be a science book, is an indication that God was guiding the process, else some of those superstitious beliefs would have been included in the Bible.
You know, that goes along with what we referenced with Nick's call from Florida, in which Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, which words we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If the writers were using their own wisdom, the thinking of the common day, Dad, the myths and the superstitions and really the inaccuracies of science of that day would have been included in the scriptures, yet the scriptures are free from those misunderstandings. Therefore, the writers must have gotten this information from somewhere other than from men.
Exactly right. Another example of that same sort of thing has to do with the historical accuracy of the Bible. The Bible's not a general history book. It was never intended to be a general history of the world. It's really a specific history of a select group of people. But in the history conveyed in the Bible, it's accurate. And as archaeologists do their work, more and more they confirm that what the Bible says happened actually did happen. It happened when and how the Bible says that it did. So again, while the Bible is not intended to be a general history book, it is accurate in so much as it conveys history that occurred. It's accurate, and archaeologists continue to confirm again and again and again the accuracy of the Bible. Now, that is proof that God was guiding the process. Again, if you found historical errors in the Bible, there would be reason to question, how could it be from God? He made a mistake about history? But there are no such mistakes in the Bible. We could say the same thing about geography. The Bible is not a geography book, but it does mention geographical locations and their relationships to one another and so forth. Again, in every instance, it's accurate, and that would be an indicator that God was guiding that process, because men didn't even understand all of geography in the time in which the Bible was written, but God did not allow them to include any errors or mistakes.
That's right, Dad. And so basically, to conclude some of these arguments we've been making, is the Bible's free from errors. You know, if the Bible had any errors when it came to things of science or of geography or history, we would conclude that it obviously is not from God if it has errors. Or if the Bible contained contradictions, we would say it's not from God because God would not create anything that has contradictions. Yet we do not see any of these in the Bible, therefore we must conclude that it is from God.
Exactly right. You know, one of the things we need to talk about, and I know we're going to run out of time here pretty fast, Jacob, one of the things that we need to talk about, so sort of summarizing, we've talked about the Bible being inspired and what that means, that every word of the original languages was there because God wanted it to be there, and He caused it to be there. That's what the Bible claims, and the proof is available that that actually did happen. So we've talked about the true definition of inspiration and the proof that it's so. But a question that comes up from time to time, and in fact, next week when we're studying with our Mormon friends, they're going to suggest that over the centuries, the Bible has become corrupted, that it was originally from God, but the versions we have today are so far from what was originally written that we just can't put any confidence in it at all. And so we should spend just a minute discussing the fact that our Bible today is accurate to the original. You know, there's a whole field of study, Jacob, that would fall under the general heading of textual criticism. And there are people who spend their whole life in scholarly pursuit of Bible documents and their accuracy and how they've been conveyed to us. Now, I'm not an expert in that field, and I doubt that many are who just might be casually listening to our program tonight, but we have the confidence in the scholarship of those men, and they tell us that we do, in fact, have very accurate conveyance of the original language, the original messages to us today.
Well, Dad, but, you know, it is important for us to note, though, that we do not have any original copies of the New Testament. How then do we have confidence that what we have is really accurate to what was originally presented from God?
That's right. We don't have any of what's often referred to as the original autographs. That's the terminology that's usually used. In other words, we don't have the book of 1 Corinthians in Paul's handwriting, or we don't have the book of 1 John in John's handwriting. We don't have any of those. We don't have any of the original documents. They are not available to us. Why is that so? Why were they lost? I don't know. You might speculate that God, knowing the nature of man, those things might have become objects of worship. I don't know. But they have been lost to us. But what we have are manuscript copies written in the same language as the original. In other words, handwritten copies of the originals dating back to the very near time in which the originals had been written. In other words, we've got copies, handwritten copies. Don't have the originals. We've got handwritten copies that date back very nearly to the time in which the originals were written. For instance, of the New Testament, there are over 5,000 manuscripts of various sections of the New Testament. And some of those date clear back to the 2nd century A.D. And that closeness in date between the copy and the original writing helps us to ensure the accuracy of our text. Here's a way you might look at it, Jacob. Say some ladies learned a new recipe, and they really liked it, And so they had this recipe, and lots of the different ladies wanted a copy of it. And so maybe 10 copies were made of the original recipe, and they were distributed around among several of the women. And then, by some chance, the original copy of that recipe was lost. Well, would you be able to have any confidence that you still knew the original recipe? Well, yeah, if you got all the copies together and compared them and they all were the same, then you'd say that is the original recipe, even though the original writing of it was lost. And that's what these experts and scholars do in the field of textual criticism. They compare the manuscript evidence, and they have come to a very strong conclusion that our Bibles today are accurate to the original.
That's right. We have over 5,000 manuscripts of the New Testament. When we compare that with the number of manuscripts we have of other historical works that are just secular in nature, we don't even have a comparison, Dad. We have so many more manuscripts than those other works that everyone accepts as being accurate to the original. There is no reason at all to doubt that the Bible is accurate to the original.
Yeah, I remember one time reading a comparison of the Bible. As you say, we have thousands of manuscripts to study. Think of another writing of antiquity, something like the Odyssey and the Iliad by Homer. And there's only, like, I think, 5 manuscripts of that writing that date anywhere back near to the original time when it was written. But no one says, well, we don't have an accurate copy of those writings today. You know, no one even challenges that. Where the manuscript evidence is very lacking, they still don't challenge that we have an original copy of that ancient writing. Whereas in the Bible, we've got thousands of manuscripts. We have every reason to believe it. You know, another thing that we have, Jacob, is that we have some translations of the Bible into other languages that date pretty far back. For instance, the translation of the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek dates to about 280 B.C., and that version of the Old Testament, the Hebrew translated into Greek, was known as the Septuagint version. That's the version which was frequently quoted by Christ. So while we don't have any of the original Old Testament documents, we've got a translation that dates way back that we can compare to. We can do the same thing with the New Testament. We know that the New Testament was first translated into Latin in the year 382 A.D., that version called the Vulgate. And we can compare that translation and again come up with a conclusion that we have a reliable transmission of the Bible document. And then one other thing that we have is that we have secular writers who quoted from the Scripture dating way back to the 2nd century. We have so-called Christian authors, uninspired Christian authors, who would quote various sections of the New Testament, and we compare their quotes to what we have. Again, we see that reliability in transmission. And so what we're saying here, while we're certainly not scholars in this field, we think that there's ample evidence to suggest that, yes, we do have accurate copies of the Bible. This goes back to a question that was asked in one of our earlier segments by Otis here in Columbia. Don't you think that God was protecting the Bible? Yeah, he promised he would, and he did. And we have reliable copies of the Bible today, all these many years after it was written.
To follow up along those lines, Otis has emailed back, and he simply quotes 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, where we're commanded to hold fast to sound words, Dad. And we believe the Bible is those sound words, contains those sound words, and we therefore want to hold fast to what the Bible says and follow it in our lives.
Exactly right. This will be an interesting thing to explore with our Mormon friends next week. And as we wrap the program up, Jacob, we want to mention again and hope that everybody who's listening tonight will make a point. Mark it on your calendar. Put a sticky note on the refrigerator. Next week on the Virtual Bible Study, Lord willing, we're going to have representatives from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. And they've agreed to come on the program with us. And we're going to talk about some of our differences religiously. And one of the big ones is going to be, we think the Bible is inspired of God, and we have accurate copies today, and it is the exclusive truth from God. They don't believe that. They believe that there are other inspired writings, especially by a man named Joseph Smith, and that would be the Book of Mormon and some of his other writings. And we're going to be investigating that difference with them. It should be a very interesting study next week on the Virtual Bible Study.
That's right. Why don't you, before you sign off the Internet tonight, use your address book and tell some of your friends about the program next week. We're looking forward when we can compare both sides of the argument We'll compare with what the Mormons teach with what the Bible says, and we'll see if they are teaching the truth. Why not make plans to join us next week on the virtual Bible study? Dad, enjoyed the program with you tonight.
Yeah, glad to be with you, Jacob. We're anxious to get you back home. You've been on the road too long. Next week, hopefully, we'll all be in the same room talking face-to-face and then also interacting with our listeners, getting your calls and emails. So we enjoy the virtual Bible study each week. We hope you do, and we hope you'll be listening next time.
If you have any questions about the things we discussed tonight, why not send us an email to questions@collegeu.com or call us anytime at 931-381-4567. If you have questions, we'd love to hear from you. We hope you'll make plans to join us next week. Again, we'll have special guests from the Mormon Church on, hopefully, to discuss their views, and we look forward to talking with you. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the virtual Bible study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.